Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Amen. Well, friends, it's good to see you tonight. Hope you had a blessed Christmas with family and friends. And I'm sure some of you are still working your way through the leftovers. But lovely to see you tonight. Again, your numbers are down with some folks still being away. Now, as I said last week, and as per your previous years, tonight would be a short message and then time of prayer. Basically, we're usually round up within the hour tonight with it. The last Wednesday of the year, obviously we thank God for his mercies during the course of the year, and we pray that 2022 will be a year of blessing. The world still needs the gospel. On Monday evening, we were out for a meal, and Chris was there, and I said to him, one of those things where you feel the Lord sort of putting something on your heart, and I said, Chris, how would you like to bring a wee 10-minute devotional on Wednesday night? And I said, you know, there wouldn't be a lot of folks out anyway, so won't be too much pressure. But he agreed to that. So Chris is going to give his little thought from the Word of God tonight, and then we'll go to prayer. But obviously before that, I'll commit the meeting to God in prayer. We'll sing, and then I'll hand over to Chris for 10 minutes, and then he'll hand back, and we'll have a time of prayer. Now, there was an accident on the Southport Road, so that would probably hold John and Lisa up if they're on their way in. but hopefully they'll be able to join us later. So, let's pray. Commit our meeting to God in prayer, and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you for your mercies during the course of this year. We thank you for your hand upon the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, we record here this evening our indebtedness to you as our all-seeing, all-knowing God in preserving us through another year. And Father, as we just meet tonight and gather around the throne of grace and seek your face again in prayer, conscious of the power of prayer, as well as the great privilege that we have in coming before you in prayer, we ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to attend to our cries and to answer us, because, Lord, you know that we would not be wanting to ask amiss, ask anything contrary to your word. We want to pray prayers that would be God glorifying and Christ honoring. Lord, pray that you would just bless Chris as he brings this little devotional to ourselves. May it encourage us, warm our hearts. May you strengthen him as he would address us this evening. And Lord, just pray for those folks caught up in that accident. We don't know who they are. We don't know how serious it is. But Father, what a way to start a new year, and to conclude Christmas with a wrecked car and maybe wrecked lives. Lord, you know the situation. You know the people involved. We can just commend them to you in prayer. And thank you for the emergency services that are on hand to aid and assist at times like this. So, Lord, we commit our meeting into your hands in prayer, looking your and seeking your blessing to the glory of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. And we're going to sing from Grace Hymns 358, which is How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord.
Turn to open our Bibles and turn to the epistle of 1 Peter. We'll be reading from chapter 1 tonight, verses 1 through to 9. That's 1 Peter 1, 1 through to 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, through now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Well, as this is the final meeting of the church of 2021, I thought it'd be good to reflect, to look back on not just this past year, but a bit more than that, about last year and three quarters, to look what's happened. And yeah, in this time, we've seen things that about 2 years ago, if I'd said that, or anyone else had said that, you'd have said we're all mad. Being told what we can and can't do, where we can and can't go, people falling ill, dying, not just one, but many ailments, in quite bad circumstances. People not even allowed to be at their bedside when they died. And as a result of certain decisions taken, people have lost their jobs, anxiety has increased. And as I say, it's been a pretty sorry state. Peter, the apostle, was writing to disciples in a time under Emperor Nero. Emperor Nero, very well known for his persecution of Christians. And they say, it says at the beginning of the chapter in verse 1, the pilgrims of the dispersion, other translations say exiled or exiles. What is the first thing he says to them? What is the first thing he reminds us? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Looking through Bible Gateway, looking through the various translations of this. And I think there's a version called, I believe it's a paraphrase version, some can tell me if I'm wrong, called the New Life Version, that uses the term hope that never dies. So it's not like the bus that you're waiting for. It says on the timetable it's going to come at a certain time and it never turns up. It's hope never dies. It's certain. And what is this hope? It is an inheritance, uncorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Isn't that great? We've got this hope. It's amazing. And it's like, how do we know of this? What is that, the down payment of this? Is it, go back to verse 3 again. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I say that is something which is amazing, I say, and we know is sure, because I say we know right from the beginning, God knew from the beginning what was going to happen. He says in Genesis 3, right? And this is one thing I didn't write, unfortunately. In Genesis 3, verse 15, when he's speaking to the snake, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. He knew from the beginning. He knew that was his plan. And the Egyptians couldn't stop him. And he foresaw it. He foresaw what the Israelites were going to be like. That didn't stop it. He foresaw the exile to Babylon. Didn't stop it. He foresaw Jesus, the Pharisees, going against him, accusing Jesus of blasphemy, handing him over to the Romans on a trumped-up charge and being nailed to a cross. What was Jesus' final words? It is finished. So we know it is a certain and sure hope. Now, it does say, and I'm not going to reread this, but in verse 6, that we're going to go through trials for the testing of our faith. And we see that every day. We've seen this over the past, we've seen it over the past few years, and we've got even more we could potentially be looking at the moment. We say we've got a, and something we should be praying about, the consultation on the bill which could outlaw what they say is conversion therapy, things that could potentially outlaw certain types of preaching and prayer. So things we should pray about, and trials that we still yet to go through. But ultimately, our salvation is sure. As the hymn writers Stuart Townend and Keith Getty say, when faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure. It doesn't matter what happens to us, to say, yes, well, of course we're going to be worried. And I'm preaching to myself here, because I get anxious quite a bit and worry quite a lot. I say, if you don't believe me, ask my wife. But ultimately, our hope is in heaven. Our hope, this is not the end for us. They're all those who are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ here tonight, I hope this is something for you to mull over and to think about how awesome this is, this gift given to us from God. But I say, for all of us who are in Christ, this is not the end. And we can say, it is well with my soul. Amen. 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 Right. Sorry, I know that was a very short message. But let's say we're now going to turn to our next hymn, also from Grace. 580. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
When sorrows soul, it is worth.